Alright, welcome to Brave New Dungeon. My name's Big Al. We're about to start the show. This is a D&D live play podcast with a little Dungeons & Dragons talk in between. So, hope you're ready. Strap on those dice bags. Here we go. Right. Welcome to Brave New Dungeon. My name's Big Al, back again with another show. This time it's the Pearl, back on a regular Thursday schedule, we hope. Fingers crossed, I just jinxed it by saying that. I totally jinxed it. Oh well. Anyway, the Pearl, episode 26, and the boys are back. They just fought the air elemental, and unfortunately they lost their companion Leva, and they'll have to go on without her. So let's see what happens. We got Anderson, the fighter, Kirik, the dwarf cleric, and Penn, the mage, the elf mage, and finally Drake Pike is the half-elf rogue. So let's get to it. I will see you on the other side. All right, so Rob Kirik makes his way to the thrashed, broken body of your elf companion.
It's just gonna take her stuff and leave.
Yeah, just checking her out.
Don't even bother. Yeah, she's probably dead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he would like to check and see, and see if he can tell if she's still alive or not.
Her body looks broken, torn, bent, out of shape. You don't know. It depends on how long you want to stay and look. As the crashing sounds above are still... You can still hear the battle raging above.
Well, can I just take like a couple seconds to see if there, I can even just get a pulse? That'd be fine for me. Would that be a medicine to be able to do like a quick check?
Yeah.
Maybe with a higher DC or something?
Yes, 15 if you wanted to do it real quick.
So 19.
So yeah, you... Very faint pulse.
How about now?
Quick glance over his shoulder, see if anybody's looking.
Sometimes you just can't find that vein. You know, that's weird.
That's right. I'm going to force you to make the choice.
We got a... how much does she weigh?
Pretty... Not too loaded down. What does she wear? She's wearing leather armor, probably.
You weigh less than, say, like 200 pounds.
200? Not with all the gear. You dropped the backpack, and you could probably... Oh, he didn't even fill out the inventory, so there's no telling what she might be carrying. So without that, then yeah. 176 is the age, 120 pounds is the weight, so yeah.
Okay. He'll just try to pick her up and carry her along. I mean, he has a fairly high capacity. But yes. We need to go. He doesn't want to take the time right now.
Yeah. He throws the limp body over his shoulder, yells to the companions, "Let's move!
Let's do this."
Amy and the panther take the lead, rushing down the hall. They seem to know the way out, as if the water below is calling to her and the Pearl as you guys fly down through caverns, through barren halls, and out into the stormy evening, dark evening, and rush down the hillside towards the lake below. And upon reaching the lake... Amy pulls the pearl out of the satchel and begins to glow a warm bluish purplish glow, and from the middle of the lake three large globules surface and move towards you as you wade out into the water and are engulfed into the vessels of the Primumare.
Eric's going to nod to Anderson and say, it's a jellyfish, or the jelly squid.
The jelly squids are back! Anderson turns and bolts.
Yes, actually that does elicit some sort of response, as he's just like, are they the good ones, or are we going to eat? Like, I don't trust this little girl. Remember last time what happened? We were here. Do you like rowing again? I don't want to row.
I don't want to row either, but she seems happy this time as opposed to a little upset like she did last time.
I would beat you if I just got to ride a panther.
Yeah, if you were a little smaller, you might be able to ride that panther.
Just got
to
get a bigger panther.
That's right. There's got to be one around here somewhere.
Just cast enlarge on it.
That's right.
And then we have to awaken it. Yeah, he'll get over it if it's good. I mean, he's already in one. He's more fascinated now than scared.
All right. So you make your way in, and you're greeted by some of these Primumare, and they take you to a large room to sit down and relax and catch your breath. It's been a long, busy day. 3 months ago, you were fighting snakes. Made it through a poisonous constrictor vine room and up to witness the huge battle and then fight one of your own. Malgrim Ednotrier, the dwarf, comes in, and you remember him as kind of the leader, the speaker of the Primumare in his robes, and assures you that your wounds will be attended to, and Leva will be, whatever can be done to save her will be done. The people around Ami stand solemn when they look at her, and with their heads bowed, and then soon they want to lead her away to deal with the pearl. And Malgrim is very enthusiastically thanking you for what you have done. What you have accomplished is no small feat, and your efforts will ripple through this entire land. If that pearl were to fall into the wrong hands, there is no telling what kind of destruction might have befallen both the people of the sea and the people of the land. Is there anything we can do for you while we prepare to take the pearl to its resting place?
I think some of us came inflicted while we were there. Maybe you could take a look at them.
Some of us went up a level, too. yes, we will. We can feed you. We can tend to your wounds. You can get a good night's rest. We'll have to consult with Pence and find out when he will be traveling to the sacred resting place of the Pearl, but I imagine it won't be for a few days. So you are... you will be taken care of in the meantime.
Yeah, cool, because I just remember some of us were actually, you know, diseased after the vines.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Leva was. That's what those little tokens were that I took off. Damn it. I was looking at them and looking at them.
What was that for?
Yeah, why is that? Take rid of that. So Leva had it, and I think Kyrick, right?
And Pen had it, too. I was like, what is that?
No, maybe it was just Pen and Leva.
Yeah, I thought only two people had it.
Yeah, just two. So, yeah.
Because the poison almost killed Anderson.
Yeah.
I listened to that episode not too long ago. It's like, what are you at? Oh, I'm at two out of 31.
Yeah. So, yeah, that... that effect, they can heal on Pen. He will need to get some rest, and some magical healing will restore him from that disease. Because I could go back and look at what that was, but I think they have enough restoration. So yeah, so that will be taken care of, and anything else we can help you with, and anything else you desire, please let us know. So yeah, anything you can think of.
Anderson literally just wants to enjoy some food, get some good sleep, and then tell stories of the adventure to rescue the pearl. And it always, you know, grows with each telling.
Yeah.
And while you're telling the stories, Penn will be casting a minor illusion to showcase the events that happened that match your description of the story.
That's right.
So it's going to be a short show for Penn.
I'm going to summon a scribe so that I can start dictating to him my list of demands. I mean, rewards.
Yeah.
Gold, magic items, filet mignon, the finest whores, and lots and lots of wine.
Yeah. And the guy that you're telling this to is like, wow, that sounds pretty awesome. Wish we could get this stuff.
Oh, and cocaine, too.
Mounds. Great big piles. So, yeah, so that first night you guys get the good rest, and the next morning you're waking up, and yes, many people would love to hear you recount the story of how the pearl was retrieved from the menacing gnome of the island of Kin Barakaz. And Penn's light show of stick figure snakes and mighty dragons and giants battling.
It's a grade 6 PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, entertains and delights them all. Yeah, so, but no, if you do need some equipment or something, you can restock if you want to take that 20 crossbow bolts back up to 100 or something. That'd be pretty. They would be able to provide some of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'll take that.
And let's roll there it is. So that next morning. Okay. And so they, you know, day goes by. The evening, you're feeling much better. Full hit points, any hit die, you can take whatever half of that's gone. You enjoy the kingly, princely treatment. And they start talking of what is going to happen with the pearl. It needs to be taken to a place where the other, they call them Imies, of the different elements will be brought to a holy site where they will be placed to maintain the balance of the elements on this plane and for the next 1,200 years, roughly. And these Imies are the only things that will keep that balance. If one of them were to be lost or taken, it would throw everything out of balance, and the 1,200 year cycle would be thrown into an alternate, timeline where strange things would happen between the balance of the elements.
And this is told to us by like a group of people?
The Primumare, yeah.
like just like on our second day, like just random people come up to us and just tell us this?
Well, as you're recounting your tale of how the pearl was recovered, they want to share their knowledge of what this what this means. What you've done is saved all living creatures, or at least saved the timeline, preserved the timeline and the balance that that has taken place for the past 1,200 years, as far as the elements being in alignment, in balance.
You know what that makes us, guys? That makes us big goddamn heroes.
That's right. You guys are heroes to the Primumare.
Anderson's gonna, like, after they leave, he's gonna turn back like, and look at the group and be like, can you believe that they're doing that? Like, they're gonna do all that thing? I don't know why they kept referring themselves like that, but that was really weird. But, I mean, we're here to protect them. Like, he thinks when they were saying, I, me, they are actually trying to use it as, like, them saying, I. So, he thinks, like, they were talking, oh, yeah, these guys did all that. That's pretty awesome. Like, yeah.
The I, me, must protect the I, me.
Yeah. Thank you for protecting the IME.
Or us, or just use your thumb and point at yourself. So yeah, so that is happening, and you meet with Pence, who has been with the Pearl and with Amy. Pence is the Omumare. There are three Omumare, and Amy is set to replace Pence as the third Omumare, and Pence is going to take the pearl to the chosen designated spot, and he has to place it on the altar of the elements. So he informs you that they are ready to complete the task, and you...
Anderson does ask one question.
Yes.
And that's... he's going to ask, so when Amy becomes a new thing there, Tessa, does she now work for Amy, or does she go with Pence? How does that work? Most random, dumbest question.
Yeah, he's like, he raises an eyebrow, and very astute, that you have taken taken a notice in a an interest in the way that our lives evolved. Amy will have her own protector, which is, it is odd that this panther has been chosen, a land creature. Tessa will continue on in the as a member of the Primumare, and she will work for the Omumare as a whole. She will no longer be my personal protector. Servant, and as her mother, was it her mother or grandmother, was traveled with her with Pence in the beginning. Omumare Kahari Narvi, I think was his name. I love that name, Omumare Kahari Narvi.
I only have
Ginny McLeod.
No, I don't even have that. I have Arya Ninifar.
Arya Ninifar is a steward.
Yeah, okay. I don't have that crazy ass name.
Tessa McLeod was the. She was young, and she.
Yeah, had, I know Tessa, but.
Yeah, she was. A servant of Pence. Pence. So yeah, she said he let you know Tessa will remain with the Primumare, and you can tell that he is sad that she will not be a part of his life any longer.
Sorry, now you can continue.
All right.
This is something that Anderson would ask.
All right. And the entire atmosphere on the Jelly Squid ship is just excitement, anxious excitement. People are bubbling over with, enthusiasm and anxiety. This is a very momentous occasion in their existence, and it's quite somewhat disturbing. These guys are up in a fit, but also very kind of an honor to be a part of it. Also, depending on how your character would respond to this. All right, we took a little break, and I lost a piece of the recording, just a little piece. We took a break right after that, a little description there, and came back and started talking about items that the party might want. They were talking to the Primo Mare in the Jelly Squids and gathering items to be used for their journey. So we'll pick it right back up, and Penn is looking for a pearl.
give them a big pearl. Can I get a smaller version?
I just need a little pearl.
Yeah, can I get a smaller version of that?
Right, that was the first look.
I don't need a magic one.
Right, when you first ask for a pearl.
I just need one to be able to cast identify on.
Stepping on each other.
Or to cast identify with.
With, yeah. And they're like, they do a double take. Oh, yes, of course. Yes, you can. We do. And their pearls are like stones to them. They will give you a sackful. Say,
well, I need one pearl that's worth, I think, 100. Yeah. So I just need one.
One pearl worth 100 gold. Okay. So a big one.
Or just a good one.
A nice one. Very round, with good color. Yes, we can give you a pearl of nice value. And you look around at them, and they show you, and you find one for its arcane properties, and say, this one will do perfectly. I will take this.
And while we're sitting around, do we have anything that would be worth identifying? It's been a while. I don't remember what all we have.
Do we have a pair of shoes or something?
Oh yeah, I have.
We got the necklace that Anderson wears. I don't think we got it fully identified.
And I do have some shoes in my inventory. Those fine made gnomish boots.
Well, let's go with the boots then.
Well, I can. It's a ritual. I can cast it every 10 minutes, and the pearl doesn't get used up. An owl feather does, but I have an owl that I can pluck a feather from.
That's right. The owl gets very, very miffed.
When it gets miffed, I dismiss it to a pocket plan.
When it's time to start identifying stuff, the owl cannot be found. He's hiding. So yeah, but the necklace, I thought that these guys helped you out. It was a healing thing.
Yeah, it steals life from, but I thought we only got like partially identified because all I know about it is, hold on, I have it written down and everything, yeah. Is that it steals life from around him.
Yeah.
That's all I know about it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So cool.
It's good.
Yeah, because we took it to one of the people here and it was a woman with like her finger or something, right?
Yeah. Yes. This was before PHB and all that stuff came out. Dungeon Master's Guide. This is a little something that I concocted in here. Okay, so there was the necklace.
But I mean, let's do the boots before.
Yeah, the boots are. So yeah, you do your ritual, and I just had it here. Oh wait, is this gonna have it? Oh yeah.
Well, if we're sitting around resting, I don't have to spend the 10 minutes. I can just spend 1 minute, since I imagine that we'll rest again before anything else happens. But whichever, either way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, basically, you're like 3 days of hanging out, the boots are very finely made. And I didn't write down a page number, so I'm gonna flip through here to the boots of striding, and let me see what kind of description they give for those.
It says that I learn. Let's see. Its properties and how to use them, whether it requires attunement, and how many charges it has, if any.
Right. Yeah, you are examining them, and they do require the wearer to attune them, make them part of themselves. They will aid you in travel, walking, and which your walking speed becomes 30. It won't become reduced if you are encumbered or wearing heavy armor, and you can jump 3 times your normal distance. So you can't jump farther than your remaining movement would allow. Say it again.
Is anybody little? Is anybody a halfling? I mean, I forget what everybody's class.
Technically, dwarves only have 25 feet, but that encumbrance piece is pretty big too.
Yeah.
And dwarves already have that piece. So I'd say it's probably better on someone who might be.
Oh, that's right.
On the encumbered side.
Yeah, dwarves don't get any penalties for heavy armor.
Well, so we could either have somebody take advantage of being able to carry a shitload, or have the dwarf wear it to get a 30-foot move rate.
Right, basically what it turns into.
So the necklace, the life-stealing property of the necklace, these shells, it will take life from the two nearest creatures that... to the wearer that's trying to regain hit points, and it takes a d4 from each of those creatures and adds it to your own hit points. You're on mute, or you stepped away?
I was just typing.
You just don't care. You're like, oh, whatever.
No, I was just typing to make sure I got it right.
Yeah, 2d8 hit points restored, and it takes a d4 from the two nearest creatures.
I forget how that wound up. Was that a full action to use it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
That was That's the it. One that had...
Anderson doesn't want the boots just because he already has the necklace.
The finger bone. So yeah, so you guys are doing this and checking out your stuff. Anything else that you're going through your packs and trying to find? The Primumare are very intrigued by your equipment. These things, these magical artifacts, and they say yes, you will. We want to help you with your with anything that we can. We can enchant your weapon if you wish. They will bring you forward into a chamber where full of magic, magical presence, and ask you for an item. Or a weapon that you would like to have enchanted.
Well, I'll get my bow enchanted. That sounds like a good idea.
Okay. Anybody else?
How exactly does enchanting play out in this version? So, like, if it was armor or something instead?
There's a armor plus one.
Okay, so it's still just like the plus enhancement bonuses.
Yeah, bonus okay. To AC.
Right.
There's other types of things like invulnerability and resistance and that kind of stuff, but this would just be a plus one to any one item that you have.
Oh, so as Anderson starts to point towards his net sack and go, can you do something with that?
No, that's beyond the realm of magic.
We can't mess with net sacks of any type of nature. It's against our brethren, the sea creatures that you ensnare with your net sack and your wily fisherman ways. Although we do respect the fisherman ways and the fisherman's net sacks, we do not partake in enchanting or manipulating nut sacks in any ways.
Net.
Excuse us.
Because that's what he's carrying is tarp, rope, bandages, you know, stuff like that. And
right.
Just if we can't get the net sack enchant, man, that's what I was really hoping for. He needs AC, so he'll ask for this. Can you help me with get some better of this armor?
Certainly. And they do their enchantment over your armor, keeping a wide berth of the net sack.
So I don't remember. Was there anything special about the shield? Because I grabbed the shield from the Pearl room.
Ah, yes. The shield. Yes, this was a Oberth's shield that was on the wall. A shield of missile deflection. Is that in here somewhere? Because this was before the actual DM's guide came out, and that's what I wanted, but I didn't have all the stats for it, and I never updated it when we got it. Missile attraction.
I don't want that one.
No, you can pass on that. Huh, maybe there isn't.
Oh, actually, is there, rather than my bow, is there, like, magical arcane focuses that, like, increase the save DC or hit roll of spells cast with it?
That I picked it up. Don't yep. think so. I don't know, yeah. Huh, I don't see a shield of missile deflection or whatever. That's funny.
Well, I guess whatever is already on it, if they were to enhance that, would it interfere at all?
Yeah, I think multiple enchantments on a single item. I don't think it would work. I don't think that's within their power. They'd have to concoct a whole new item. How come there's no shield of missile deflection? That's no good. Well, I had the idea that it would be like +2 AC versus missiles. Mundane missiles, you know, arrows, spears, thrown, heavy thrown, anything like that, but not magical stuff, but versus missiles. So yeah, you can write that down.
All right, I guess in that case, I'll offer up my... Warhammer.
Alright. And they rub some magic juice on it and admire the Moradin's power and congratulate you on being such a stout dwarf and a fine servant of Moradin. What about Drake? Drake Pike got something?
Yeah, actually, I got a couple things. So, first of all, I'm going to suggest to the group that, as I am a man who carries many weapons, the boots, the shoes actually might help me out, because currently I have a cutlass, a short sword, 5 daggers, 2 hand crossbows, 100 bolts. And that's just my weapons.
Guess you need to work out more.
He's a walking armory.
I'm just saying, you know, I'm a man who likes to obtain things, and I want to make sure I can keep those things on me because I don't trust fucking Rob.
Sure, you don't trust the dwarf. The guy who's actually going to heal you, well, used to be going to heal you.
Actually, to be fair, we got rid of the one party member I didn't trust, so.
Honestly, he's fine with that because, again, just moving a little bit slower isn't a big deal to him.
Anderson enjoys it. Moving slower. Just because he's getting old.
Yeah,
it's not just the movement either.
So you exchange the boots. Yeah, and at the mention of your fallen compadre, they say, well, she is mending, but the damage was extensive, and her head got hit a few too many times. She's not quite right in the head anymore. The left side of her body is not responding well to the healing and the treatment, and she will be unable to go further with you.
Aww.
And a moment of silence.
So, I'm the how do you say they're people again? Prima donnas? Prima, yes,
the primus.
The primus.
Primu lambda lambda.
Yeah. The premiums.
Primu mare.
Primu mare. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. I have these 2 hand crossbows, you see. I'm kind of going to show them to them. Be like, I do a lot of good with these crossbows. So I don't suppose, just this one time, you know, for the heroes of the world, you could throw in like a 2-for-1 special?
And they're smiling and very amused by your attempts to get more out of what they've offered. And
they're really small, but count as one.
They only count as one. Yeah. And
look at this one. This one's half broken. Look at it.
And they fix,
jams every other shot.
They fix the half broken one and enchant the unbroken one.
Whoa, no. Hold on. If it's kind of like an all or nothing kind of deal, because my preference is here's my thing. It's like I at first was like, I want either my dagger or my hand crossbow, but then I realized both my dagger and my hand crossbow I have multiples of, which mean they're either likely for me to be forgotten while I'm rolling on which one is the special one, or I'm gonna forget it at the scene of the crime, or I mean the scene of good doing, and I just, you know, I figure I might as well just get something I have one of, so I'm going to handle my short sword then.
The short sword, okay. Yeah. And it's very, very nice, and they do their enchantments and fill it full of magic love. It shines bright as they hand it back to you and say, good choice, young Skywalker. All right, so is that everybody?
I'm not actually sure what they did for me.
The bow?
I guess I'll go with the bow if there wasn't an option for a wand or something.
A wand.
But the bow will probably come 5th level, be no longer useful for me at all.
You'll have to get something.
You got clothes, don't you?
Yeah, you got, did you see anything that fit what you're looking for? Like a wand of the war mage +1? Doesn't look like it gives you any bonuses to the DC, but it gives you a bonus to attack rolls.
That works.
And in addition, you ignore half cover when making a spell attack. So, yeah. That will work. All right. Now we got that out of the way. The treasure. The magic items. You are ready to go to the spot where the elements will be placed. The Imes. And Anderson shakes his head.
Because it's not the ones that were talking to him?
No.
No, he doesn't understand that.
Now we will take the Imi to the spot. And you're like, who's coming with us? I thought it was Pence. And now you're saying, you're coming with us?
Yeah, and he's just going to be like, I think they're shape changers.
Doppelganger. Mirror images.
But yeah, he's going to look very confused, like... but he will go with them.
And they as you proceed down the halls of this giant jelly squid, it feels a lot longer than you thought it was before. A lot longer than the ship seemed as you're moving down this hallway that is lined with the Primumare. Yeah, let's say they're chanting or something really, really cool.
Slow clap.
Yeah, it's the music that rises at the end of Star Wars. As you guys make your way down there, big Wookiee at the end of the hall.
I hope he doesn't sound like that.
No, that's a dying Wookiee. That's Leva. Leva's standing at the end. She really did get hit on the head really hard.
It's just like an elf with Down syndrome.
And yeah, you move, making your way, walking down this hall, and things start to blur a little bit. The colors kind of coalesce as Pence is holding the pearl and talking, chanting. He is standing ahead of you, leading you down a hallway, you feel a wave, a strong wave of energy pass through you, and you are suddenly floating through the air, but you floating while walking in some kind of airy liquid substance, breathing normally through this liquidy kind of viscous air. As you open your eyes, the substance... You can't see. There's no end. There's no horizon. But you get the sensation that you're moving, and at some crazy speed. Although you can't tell if you're standing still or just flying at the speed of light. And then a white light flashes and makes you close your eyes. You blink your eyes. You open your eyes, and you're standing on water. It's kind of that weird silvery, almost like mercury water. You see your reflection and you look down, but it's water, but you're standing on it solid. Feeling like you could fall through, but time seems frozen, and you're looking down, you notice that, looking around you, you can see figures way in the distance. All of them equal distances away from you. Pence holds the pearl, and far ahead, a pedestal rises slowly out of the water, tiny ripples at the base of it spread out below you and finally reach you under your feet, disrupting that reflection momentarily. He turns to you and says, I must walk while you will remain. And he moves away from you, tiny ripples at his feet. You start looking around at the other groups of figures, and there's four groups. Naturally, four groups, four elements are spaced apart to form a square. And as Pence moves away from you, you notice a single figure from each of the other groups moving away, each following a path towards the pedestal at the center of all of this. As they move away from their groups, time seems to slow down, and it feels like... the seconds are elongating as he's walking almost in slow motion, where then it gets to just this excruciatingly slow pace where one step seems to take a minute. And then even longer for the next one until it stretches out to almost like feels like an hour has passed before they each of them are taking a step. And as it does that, the horizon, the line of the horizon starts to bend a little bit, and you're in everything, your sense of reality just kind of gets whacked. The horizon actually seems to be pulling upward at the edge while it's still expanding outward. You know, as if you're standing on some big carpet that a figure is kind of lifting and pulling outward. And Pence is still walking. Time is slowing down. You're trying to orient yourself. You notice the other groups are also looking around in amazement at what's happening as the horizon's being pulled up and kind of folded into almost becoming a sphere of infinite, you know, land and sky. The horizon just kind of disappears. You don't know what's land or what's the water or the sky anymore. And as it's folding up and over, you can actually see behind you at the same time that you're seeing ahead of you. And it looks, you can see, you turn one way and you see Pence's back still moving away from you, and the other way, which you can see at the same time, he's walking towards you. And it seems to be happening with all the other groups as well. It's the sensation of being within an infinitely expanding sphere, and you're at the center of it. So everything's crazy. So the sensation of order and chaos and life and death, all of it seems to be blended into one single thing. And then suddenly your gut wrenches. You're suddenly aware of yourself, whereas moments before you were completely lost in this infinite expanse of reality. Yourself completely lost, and then you're kind of just yanked back into reality as your insides are just twisted, and you feel like you're going to be sick, and your body instinctively turns towards what you believe to be the cause of the discomfort, and you see Pence. You see his back and his face at the same time from those two different places, and his face is contorted in this kind of distortion, and he has veered from this straight line towards the pedestal, and then as he takes another step away from the straight line that all of them had seemed to be following, your muscles again just spasm, and fire lights up behind your eyes, you know, searing your brain, and in the group directly opposite you, maybe 120, maybe 150 feet away, this large being with deep red skin is watching Pence as everything is shifting, and says, "What is he doing?" And this whole infinite sphere is like getting wrung, like you would wring out a towel, and you feel your insides being squeezed. And this large red skin figure says, "He must be stopped," and wings burst from its back as he's moving forward to what looks like intercept Pence. Although with this weird reality, it's almost like you're still in between them and Pence. He's ahead of you, but he's also behind you. And this large fiery figure bursts into flames. And these like rocks, fiery rocks, molten rocks, fall down, hit the water, steam, and these figures come out like these large fire snakes, and these large fiery, not real large, medium-sized figures, humanoid-shaped fiery figures erupt from where the little lava balls have fallen. And they seem to be a little bit angry, and they want to come get Pence or you or something.
Guys, did we make a deal with the devil?
Yeah, this didn't seem to be going the way I had anticipated.
Like, actually, why is a giant, so good at guitar?
Yeah, is it a giant fiery creature? Like, does it look like a demon? Because you're kind of describing it like a demon, Al.
Right. Or is it more like a natural fiery thing?
Like, is it brimstone that just happens?
Yeah, it's. Yeah, its skin is red, and it does have wings and spiny long tail. But it's not actually on fire, to, you know, looks pretty, you know, pretty nasty. It is probably 7 feet tall. But once it sprouts its wings, it floats up into the air, just above these creatures that it has kind of summoned. And let me put them on this map here. So you see yourselves? Or is it dark?
No, it's see ourselves.
All right. So there's those guys. Might need to back out a little bit. And as this is happening, you take a minute to look around. And to your left, what would be north on this map, are two very large figures, like that, and then down to the up here, then down to your right, or what might be considered the south, are two figures.
Is it actually a boulet?
It is. I stole that picture. But yeah, this large creature. It looks like a girl. Let me see. I got it written down. Very large. To the north there. A very large female looking brute of a creature standing next to a boule. A crazy looking digging type creature, which you guys probably hadn't come across before. And then down to the south are these two old men with that their hair is super long, their beards are long, they're wearing robes, but their hair is like tangled together, like they're stuck together by their hair, and they look identical to each other. And those the huge creature to the north and those two guys to the south, they just kind of are like, they're also kind of, their faces are contorted. They feel the pain also of the wrenching, but they're looking on just confused as these fiery creatures are charging forward and what you think towards Pence, but they have to go through you first. Pence is both ahead and behind of you, kind of veering off to the side. So what would you like to do as they?
I'd like to do a religion check and see if I can tell what the original demon-ish thing, whether it actually is demonic.
Okay. All right. That is a good place to stop for now. The boys are in deep. Crazy weird dimension that is flipping out on them. Creatures everywhere. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? This session ended mid-battle, so even I don't know the outcome of this event. So hopefully we get together this week. Next week we got plans scheduled. Finish this battle up and see what happens to the boys of the Pearl. So that's it for now. Thanks for listening. Check out the website, www.bravenewdungeon.com, and follow the Twitter at Brave New Dungeon. And you can email me, gmborgia at gmail.com. I almost said at Brave New Dungeon. Gmborgia at gmail.com. Borsia. All right. Thanks for listening. I will see you next time.